God is good. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the blue bonnets that Grandma Betty used to like so much. Thank you for spring, which is just, you know, just shows rebirth. Thank you for those olive grove in Gethsemane that is 2,000 years old that was there when you were there, and the new trees come from the old trees, so it just shows how life can come from death. Thank you, Father, that you sent your Son to die and to rise again so that we can live with you for all eternity and be your bride and your queen. Let the words that come out of my mouth today be your words and not my words. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm going to be reading from John chapter 9. It has nothing to do with Easter. Resurrection Sunday, pardon me. Has nothing to do with Resurrection Sunday. It actually has everything to do with it, but I mean, it's not the resurrection story. I mean, the whole Bible has everything to do with it, but anyway, hallelujah. And Jesus passed by. He saw a man which was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" I mean, that's a good question. That's a very human question. You're like, well, I mean, because a lot of people think that. Well, I'm sick. I must have sinned. Well, you might have. You probably just ate crummy food, and that's why you're sick, or you stayed up too late, and that's why you're sick. But it wasn't because you sinned. It was just a consequence of what you did, not the sin itself. So that's a human question. And Jesus answered, "Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." So I don't know if you guys ever had that thought. You're like, is this happening to me so that God can get glory? Absolutely. Whether it was intentional or not, God's going to get glory out of it because he does things. It's funny. For as long as I can remember, every time I get a job, I do well, and I start to make money, and then something happens, and the money that I was making that was more than the last money I was making makes the same amount of ends meet. And I think that's awesome. I think that's God. It's like, all right, God, I know you're just trying to teach me through this that I need to trust you completely. And that's good because we do. We need to trust him in everything completely, in the minutest details and the biggest things. We need to trust him completely. And it was about, you know, all the time I'm like, God, when is this lesson over? I trust you. And he's like, do you really? I'm like, yeah, I do. I do trust you. Can I start making some more money and it actually go further? No, just trust me. Like, okay. So it's good. I think I'm at that point. I'm finally at that point in my life where I just trust him for everything. And I'm just, Jeff was talking the other night about the difference between happiness and joy. Joy is in you all the time. Happiness is fleeting. You can be happy or not happy. But joy is like Jesus said, in this world you're going to have trouble. Count it all joy. Can you count it all joy when everything's going wrong? Why? Yeah, you can, because you know that God is already in control of everything, and he's already got your best interest at heart, even though it could seem awful. Things could be going bad, and you're like, this is awful. How is this my best interest? And then when you get through it to the other end, you go, oh, it was for my best interest. I see that, God. And that's why it's good. Maturity, that's why, you know, children obey your parents. You know, why? Because parents have already gone through it. They've already had the problem and seen the outcome, whereas kids are still in the problem. They can't see the problem yet. You know, they don't see the other side of it. Parents have wisdom. So it's good. It's good for kids to understand that their parents have already done a lot of dumb things and have already made the mistakes. So listen to them and make different mistakes. Don't make the same mistakes as your parents, because they already did it, and they're trying to impart that wisdom to you. So there's a difference between happiness and joy. You know, you can lose your happiness because your happiness is based on your circumstances, but joy is eternal. You know that God's going to take care of you. So, hallelujah. I must work the words of him that sent me while in this day. The night cometh when no man can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So, it's it's neat because we know the story now, but they didn't know the story. They had no clue. They didn't know that Jesus was going to die on the cross. They didn't understand that. I mean, they thought, I had this thought the other day. I thought, what would Jesus have had to have done for them to have accepted him as their Messiah? I mean, a lot of people did, but many, many more did not. You know, the Jewish people today still hate him. They're like, he was a false prophet and a heretic and blah, 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 and they just despise him. I'm like, what would he have to have done aside from fulfilling all the prophecies that you wrote down, which he did? What do you have to done? I mean, they were expecting somebody to come in and set them free from all their hardships. They weren't even thinking about their heart. They were thinking about their carnality. You know, hey, I have to pay taxes and the Romans are beating us down. And when are you going to set us free from that? And Jesus was like, hey, I didn't come for that. I came to set you free spiritually. I mean, that does not sound very exciting. You're like, I don't want to be fit. I want to life to be easy. I mean, that's the way our minds and bodies are built that way. We just don't want to do hard things. But it's okay. You know, you can thank Adam and Eve for that. Adam, you're going to work by the sweat of your brow. Okay. the rest till God brings us home. I don't even know if we're not going to work by the sweat of our brow when we're in heaven. I have no idea what heaven's going to be like. I assume that heaven, we're not going to just know everything when we get to heaven. We're still going to get to learn a lot. But the thing is there won't be any like stickers or anger or sickness or you know, bad people. So, you know, it'll be a lot easier to learn. And we'll be learning from the Creator. We're not going to learn third, fourth, fifth, tenth hand. We're going to learn from the guy that designed it all. So, you know, you're going to get a lot of better information to figure it out. I don't even know why I went down that rabbit trail, but it's awesome. Heaven's going to be exciting. And that was the whole, you know, that was the point. God initially designed the earth so that he could have a bride to rule with him in heaven. That's what he designed Adam and Eve for. They were, you know, they were going to, Adam and Eve were going to be his, you know, God created the universe for Jesus to have a bride. And that's why everything was, and just because Adam and Eve sinned didn't mess up God's plan. He just changed it a little bit. He's like, all right, I'll come down. I'll be perfect. And it'll all be good. And you can continue on being my bride, you know. And he's going to give us the free choice. That's the cool thing is that he gave us the free choice, you know. He didn't say, you have to be my bride. Because there's some people that don't want to be. I don't know why you wouldn't want to be. It's funny. I always think of the royal family. People think, especially with this young couple that's here in the United States who are nuts and spoiled and all that kind of stuff. It's like, it would be awful to be in the royal family because you're in front of everybody all the time. And you can't have your own life, and everybody always wants to be in your business, and you got all these people that are relying on you for wisdom and whatever. You would have to be dead to yourself. You'd have to understand. I mean, that's the whole point of life is to teach you what it is to be ruling and reigning with Christ, which is to die to yourself. And, like, I always hated that song. There's a song that the Baptists did. It was called Joy, Jesus and Others in You. And that's awful. So you have to be blessed. The thing is, you have to be blessed first. And there's no way, you can't spell joy the opposite way, Jesus, you and others. Because then it wouldn't spell joy. But it says, Jesus and others and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. I thought, well, man, if I'm miserable, how can I make somebody else happy? But that's just it. Jesus is making you happy. As a husband, you realize that that's hard at first because you're like, Jesus, you say you're going to make me happy and I have to make my wife happy. But what if you don't make me happy? And I still have to make my wife happy. How? You know, it just doesn't seem fair. But that's because that's our immaturity. We don't realize that God is doing it all. And we're still carnally minded, just like the disciples here. And the Israelites, they're carnally minded. They were wanting to be set free. They were wanting to be, you know, they wanted all their burdens and pains to go away. They didn't want to grow up. When you grow up, you go through all the pains and you realize that it's a blessing and that It has a purpose. Sorry. It's to teach you to like Monty and Judy and Jackie, it's to teach you to see others that they're precious and they're important. I mean, they go to the homeless people, and those are the people that you have one thought or another in your mind. You're either like, boy, that guy needs help, or you're like, that guy's trying to trick me. You know, instead of having either of those two thoughts, you go, God, how do you want me to react to this person? What do you want me to say to them? Do you want me to pray for them? I did that the other night. I was at CVS. I hate going to CVS at night. There's always somebody there asking for money. And I always say, I give my wife all my cash. Sorry. You guys could use that one. I don't mind. It's not copyright. And the guy said, hey, can you go buy me some church's chicken? And I was sick, and Mary was sick, and Gabby was sick, and I just was not in the mood. And I was like, yeah, I don't have any cash. And then I turned around and I said, can I pray for you? And he's like, yeah, I guess. And so I just prayed that the Lord would bring him somebody to take him down to church's chicken and get him some food. And he was like, bless you for that. He goes, thank you, Jesus. And he prayed for me. I thought, well, that was random, totally random. But it was like, that's just God. I don't know, God probably didn't have it in for me to take him down to church's chicken. Maybe he had somebody else. We don't know. We just have to ask God. Step out in faith. Sorry, my throat's really dry this morning. So it's just good. Life teaches us what it's going to be like to be a queen. Because when you're royalty, your job is to take care of the people underneath you. It's not to rule over them. The job of a ruler is not to reign, but to lead and to bless. That's what Jesus wants to do. He doesn't want to rule over us. He wants to lead us and to bless us and to, you know, fill us full of joy and peace. So, and when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by the interpretation sent. And he went this way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. It's funny, I've said to you guys, Jesus never did the same miracle twice so that they couldn't make a religion out of it. And I was listening to a young fellow the other day, and he was talking about how somebody made a religion out of this. I thought, wow. People can twist the Bible to their own, because if you have a formula for God, you don't need God. And that's why God always did everything different every time, because you can't make a formula out of it. You need to go to God and God, what do you want me to do this time? What do you want me to say this time? You can't just have a speech that you give, because that speech may help that guy, but it may not help that guy. This guy may need to be rebuked, and this guy may need to be loved. You don't know. You have to ask God. You know, some people need a hard word, some people need a hug. You know, it just depends on where they're at. And that's why you got to be talking to God. If you're talking to God, then he'll tell you that kind of stuff. And it's not loud. You know, I mean, when I say talking to God, I don't mean you have to spend 9 hours in the Word every day. I mean, you just get up and say, morning, good morning, God, how are you doing today? I love you. And he say back to you, I love you too. And then, you read some scripture. Or I have it on my phone and I listen to it in the truck as I'm driving. It's good. And again, you don't have to listen to it thinking, what am I going to get out of this? Just listen to it and let it enter in. It's amazing. I can listen to 4 chapters while I'm driving and one thing will stand out. And it's cool because you're like, I didn't hear any of that. But whatever you needed to hear, it'll stand out. And you're like, oh. You're like, why did I hear that? And because that was important. That's what you needed to hear for the day. I turned the page. And he came seeing. And the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is this not he that sat and begged. Some said, "This is he." Another said, "He is like him." But he said, "I am he." It's like, it's me. I was healed. It's awesome. does he have a twin? I mean, it's crazy. Therefore said they unto him, "How were thine eyes opened?" And he answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' And I went and washed and I received sight." So it's like, it's interesting. So sometimes, like, Jesus spit in the thing and rubbed it in the guy's eyes and the guy could see. This time he made clay and he put it in his eyes and he said, "Go wash." He had to go find his way to the pool. But it's neat, you know. It's random. If God told me to make some mud and put it in somebody's eye, I would not do that. You have to hear God. I mean, you'd be like, what dumb thought is that? Who put that dumb thought in my head? Who put that? That's stupid. I know I've told the Smith Wigglesworth story about the woman who came up on stage and she had the goiter, and God said, "Punch her in the stomach." Oh, no way. There's no way I would have done that. Yeah, I mean, you'd have to be crazy. And so he punched her in the stomach, and nothing happened. That's awful. Nothing happened. And then she came to a meeting like a year later, again, and God told her again, "Punch her in the stomach." That's nuts. And then it fell out. You'd have to believe God. You'd have to know him. You'd have to hear from him. You'd have to have a relationship with him. I mean, that's crazy. Punching somebody for God. Sometimes you'd like to do that, but that's our own flesh. I'd like to punch some Jesus into you. But that is good. I mean, like, I know I talk about Facebook a lot. Man, it's been such a gift. Because I've learned to love people for their awfulness and to see past their awfulness and see their need. That's the thing is, there's a guy that I listen to, and he'll see things, and I'm like, how did you see that? And I'll realize he'll get to the surface and then go past it. It's like you don't stop at the cross, you go through the cross. If you stop at the cross, that's just your salvation. Going through the cross, you're dead, and then you're alive with Christ, and then you're living with Christ. It's neat to be able to see, okay, this person is being mean to me. And then you go, why? How are they hurting that they're being mean to me? Something has happened to them. God, what can I do for them? That's where you need to get to the point where you get past, I mean, slings and arrows, they don't matter. I mean, remember, God is, we've got the armor on. You know, you always have the picture of, you know, Jesus is covering us with his wings, you know. It's, you know, we don't have to worry about that stuff. It doesn't hurt us. Even if it does physically hurt us, so be it. I know I've said that my dad couldn't handle torture. I probably couldn't handle it either, but I like to think that if it happened to me, I'd be witnessing to him the whole time. I don't know that I would. I'd probably be crying out in pain. But I don't know. I'd like to think that I'd be like Stephen and just not feeling the pain, and I'm just sharing God with them while they're doing it. Because you got to be able to see past what they're doing. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't have a clue." You got to see past that. He saw past it. He's like, I love them. They don't have any idea why they're doing this. They don't even realize that it's actually going to bless them that they're doing it. I forgive them already. I forgive them. Father, forgive them. I forgive them. That's huge. But that's what you got to be a queen. You know, you have to be able to see the needs of the people beyond what's the surface. And that's, man, that's powerful. And you get that by growing up. You just grow up and you start to learn that God said he's already taken care of all your carnal needs. God promised that, you know, if the flowers would be clothed and the birds would be fed. So you go, all right, God, if you do it to them, how much more important am I than flowers and birds? He's going to feed me. He's going to clothe me. He's going to provide me with good work so that I can help other people. You know, it's good. Just ask God for what you ask God for your desires of your heart. That's cute. Your daughter, she's cute. I think it's, yeah. And he, let's see, there we go. And then said they unto him, Where is he? And he said, I know not. I mean, you'd immediately want to know, who's this guy that just healed this blind guy that we see every day? You know, there's a guy that stands on the bridge right by the McDonald's where I get off the highway, and he's there. And he's been there for years. It's the same guy. He used to be there with his girlfriend. I haven't seen her in a while. And it's like, it's the same guy. And my carnal mind goes, does he have a nicer house than I do? I bet he does. I bet this is just a scam for him, you know. That's my carnal mind. Because, you know, I've seen the 2020 thing on how, you know, people who beg for money make $70,000, $80,000 a year begging for money. And you think, golly, I just have to get rid of my pride and I could make $70,000 a year and doing nothing. So, oh, man. I always thought that'd be fun to stand out on the side of the road instead of having a sign that says, I need money, go, do you need prayer or something like that? You know, people wouldn't be expecting that. So, I thought it'd be kind of hard, though. I mean, how do you go? You only have 10 seconds. What prayer do you need? Jesus bless you. All right, get out of here. You're blocking traffic. And they brought the Pharisees to him that aforetime was blind. So they took him. They took this guy to the Pharisees, the religious people. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Oh, no. Remember, Jesus said, I don't even know if this is in this passage. It's my favorite thing Jesus ever said. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. That destroys everything. Because that just God creates things for us to enjoy and to bless us, not to put laws and burdens on us. I mean, if God makes a law, it's to keep us safe. It's to give us wisdom. It's to bless us. It's to show us that we need him. I mean, that's the whole point of the Ten Commandments, to show us we need God. Wahoo. I can't do it, God. Good. I can do it for you. Oh, you're going to do it for me? And I don't have to do anything? No, you just have to surrender to me. Oh. That sounds easy, but it's hard. It's hard to surrender to God. But just do it a little bit at a time. The fun thing is when you spend time with God, it gets easier and easier and easier and easier. At first, it's super easy because you're excited. I'm going to surrender to God. And you're like, yeah, this is awesome. And then it doesn't go the way you think it's going to go. You're like, oh, God, I thought when I surrendered to you, everything was going to get easy, because that's like the Israelites. They're like, when the Messiah is going to come, everything's going to get easy. No, the Bible says you're going to have troubles in this world. Count it all joy. It's good. You can go through this world and have troubles with God or without God. You're going to have the same troubles. The troubles are going to happen to you. Do you want God on your side, walking you through it, helping you through it, or you just want to do it on your own? So it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received sight. And he said to them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said one of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Silly. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. The crazy thing is they've been waiting for the Messiah their whole life. Two, God had done miracles throughout all their existence. The devil doesn't do nice things for people. why would they think this guy was a sinner or a devil or have a devil in him? The devil just doesn't do nice things. He may pretend, and then he destroys you. You know, here, I'll give you a little, I'll gratify you for a while, and then I'll destroy you. He doesn't tell you the destroying part. He just does that secretly. So it's like, it's ridiculous. But they can't see past the law. Remember, the law is their God. The law of Moses. That's what they have. They didn't have a relationship with God. Some do. Some of them did. You know, I mean, the people that did, when they saw Jesus, they knew. Why? Because they had a relationship with God. So they saw Jesus, and immediately they're like, that's the guy. That is the guy we've been waiting for. And the others were like, no, he doesn't measure up with the law. The law says do this and do that, and he's always breaking those little, fence laws that we made. You know, eating on the Sabbath and You know, he says it's okay to pull your donkey out of a ditch on the Sabbath. That's ridiculous. That's work. You can't work on the Sabbath. God told us to rest because it's good for us. I know if I work too many days in a row, I'm tired. So it wasn't a law. God wasn't saying, you have to keep the Sabbath. He's like, hey, it's good for you to keep the Sabbath. Your body needs a rest. It's good for your mind. It's good for your body. It's good for your emotions. Just take a rest. It wasn't a law. It was a gift. I mean, God took a breather. He took one day off. Remember, he took one day off. It was the eighth day. He's like, all right, I'm going to take a day off. I've been here for millennia. Not creating the world. I mean, just, you know, there was no time before God created time. Okay. And they said to the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. And the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him and asked that he'd received his sight. So it's like they saw the guy every day. And they're like, ah, you're lying. It's like the guy, the bum on the street, and you see him in the wheelchair. You're like, are you really in a wheelchair? Or are you just pretending? It's like, 'cause that Eddie Murphy was in some movie where he was pretending to be a crippled guy. I don't know if you guys... Guys, don't watch Eddie Murphy movies. They're horrible. You know, it's full of swearing and stuff. I'm just... You got to watch the made-for-TV version. It's funny. I've gone back and watched movies, and I was like, oh, wow. And I'm like, and I realized as a child, I always saw the made-for-TV version, and so it was very clean. And so you didn't realize that it was an awful movie. But remember, you got to be careful because... what our mind sees is not what God sees. God sees through all the junk. He sees the hurt inside the person that's lashing out or you know, begging for money that's not really in need, you know, whatever. He sees the depth of their heart, and that's what we need to ask him. God, show me the depth of this person's heart so that and tell me how to bless them. You know, tell me what word I need to give them. Tell me if I need to, anyway. So, and they called his parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, whom you say was born blind, and how doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. And by what means he now seeth, we know not. For who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him, and he will speak for himself. They're like, come on, man, he's not a kid. You can ask him. That's funny. These words spake his parents. I don't know if they were being, you know, they're like, hey, he's old enough to ask him. So I think they were just being silly. And the words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. They were worried about getting kicked out of their church. You know, a lot of people are worried about. I always think that's funny when people, we don't do that here. We don't have memberships. Churches have memberships. You have a role, and they take. You didn't show up this week. You know, some churches even they notice whether you tithe or not, and they'll tell you, hey, you didn't tithe. That's crazy. That's not in the Bible. That's between God and the person. It's not between the church and them. I mean, if God's not in your ministry, it's going to fall apart. It's not going to hang out. Hang on. You know, if you have to do it in your own flesh, then that's not God. You should just let it die. Obviously, this church is in God's will because it's here and it's going and we're stable. And that's nuts. I don't know how, but it's God. So God said, if it's still going, I'm still here. Like Dad said, if one person shows up, I'm preaching. Why? Because that one person's important. Each of you individually is so precious to God, and God's interested in every part of your life. He's interested in all your thoughts, all things that make you sad, things that make you happy, your worries, your desires. He's interested in every bit of that. I mean, that's just, I mean, you think about your spouse. I mean, that's the way you are with your spouse or your friends. You know, you want to bless your friends. Or, you know, it's just the way it is. You know, our things we do are just a small modicum of what God wants. You know, this earth is just a taste of what heaven is going to be like. The good parts of it, not the bad parts. The word spake his parents. Okay, did they fear? Okay. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. They said it again. Then again they called the man that was blind and saith unto him, give God praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind and now I see. He's like, I don't care. I don't care if he was a devil or an angel. I can see. And that's great. I mean, you wouldn't. I mean, if you'd been blind all your life and all of a sudden you can see, you wouldn't care. It was just like, I can see. And so he wasn't. The parents were totally worried about the church. They didn't want to be kicked out of the church. And he's like, I don't care. He's like, I can see. And that's more important. Then they said to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? And he answered, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? And they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. See, the law is their God. God is not their God. And yet they think that God is their God. They think God is their God by keeping Moses' law, but it's not. They missed the point. Moses was to point us to God, not to be our God. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. And the man answered and said unto them, so he's saying, the Pharisees said to him, we know that God spoke to Moses. We don't know that God speaks to this guy. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. He's like, he opened my eyes. How would that not be from God? Can anybody else do that? Do you know anybody else that can open somebody's eyes? Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. So since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one who was born blind? And if this man were not God, he could do nothing. And they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin, and thou dost teach us. And they cast him out. He was teaching them. He was schooling them. He's like, you guys are the smart ones. You guys are learned. You guys went to seminary. You guys study this day and night, and you're missing the point. There's no way he could have done this thing if he was a sinner. Only someone of God could do this thing. And they answered and said unto him, oh, no, they cast him out. We already got to that part. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and he had found him, and he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which might see may be blind. That's terrible. We need to talk to King James about his writing. So, you know, it's funny because you meet people and they're very scholarly. And the problem is their pride is in their scholarliness and they're missing God. And then you meet other people who are just a normal guy. But they know who God is. I mean, Jesus said, I didn't come for those who are healthy. I came for those who are sick. So when you're healthy, you don't need a physician. But when you're sick, you need a physician. So, you know, Jesus didn't come for the righteous. There aren't any righteous. But Jesus didn't come for those who think they're righteous. He came for sinners. So when you know you need God, it's easy to see him. When you think you don't need God because you're doing good, it's hard to see him. It's hard to see that you need him. And it's why the church is so hard to reach, because they all think, you know, they're all being holy. But it's a, you know, they're just making the law their God, or making their traditions their God, or, yeah, it's sad. Because, you know, I mean, when we get to heaven, some people, God's going to say, you know, they're going to say, Lord, look at all these things I did in your name. And he's like, I didn't know you. You were doing those things for your own glory. You didn't do those for me. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. Again, it's King James, golly. So, when you know you're in need, it's easy to know you need God. When you know someone else is in need, when you can see past all their walls that they put up, or it's always funny to me, and I've talked a lot about homeless today. I'm more apt to give a homeless guy money if he comes up and says, hey, I need $2. But if he comes up and says, hey, this is a funny story. This one guy, he came up to me one time. He's like, yeah, my house burned down, and I'm just trying to get some money together so that my daughters and I can have a place to stay. And I was like, oh, okay, so I gave him some money. You know, I mean, it was a stupid story. I figured it was probably a lie. And so, like, the next week, he saw me again, didn't know it was me, and asked me again for money. And I was like, oh, how are your daughters? He's like, I don't have any daughters. And I was like, oh, my gosh, you got me. I gave him money again. But I was like, dude, just be honest. Just say, I need $2. Don't make up some dumb story. Be honest with people, you know? It's good. It's good to be honest. You know, honesty is hard a lot of times, but, man, it gets things done so much faster. You don't have to worry or wonder, or, you know, it's like a Band-Aid. It's going to hurt when you take it off. But once it's off, man, you can fellowship again. You know, you're in communion again. You know, the Bible says if you have aught against your brother, go and talk to him. Even if you don't, like, this thing has been on my mind for an entire year. I have a neighbor, and I don't think they're believers because they have one of those dumb signs in their yard about love is love and all that junk. Last year, the guy kept mowing his front yard, but his backyard was like 2 foot tall, and we had mosquitoes so bad. And instead of being a man and going over and talking to him, I called his landlord and said, hey, your tenant is not mowing his backyard. And I have felt bad for that for an entire year, and I've almost got up the gumption to go over there and apologize to him. He doesn't even know I did it. He probably does, though, because he stopped talking to me after that. But that's just it. I mean, I know in my heart I should have just gone over and talked to him. I was sick, and I wasn't feeling good, and I just was grumpy, and I didn't want to do it. That was dumb. I should have been the Christian, you know, the Jesus thing to do would have been just gone over and talked to him and said, hey, can you mow your backyard, or can I mow your backyard? Whatever. So just, you know, he gets mad because I take his trash can out a lot because he forgets. I hope he's not watching. I doubt he is. He's got that sign in his yard. God puts people in front of you to talk to. God may have caused me, in my rationalization, I think, God, did you have me do that so that I can go over and apologize to him and then he can see you through that? I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I would love it if that happened, and I'd love it if he came to know Jesus. And then his wife, and then his little son. I think that would be amazing. So that's my prayer, is that I'm going to humble myself, and then he's going to say, this isn't a jerk Christian like I think all Christians are, because I always thought it was odd that people thought Christians were jerks, and then I met some Christians, and I was like, oh, some of these Christians are jerks. I wouldn't want to be around them either. Oh, that was good. I told a joke and she thought it was funny. It's good. I think we think too much, and we need to just let God, we need to just listen to God. Because we are brilliant in our own minds. And Mary will tell you, I love sharing my wisdom. If you want to know about something, I don't mind talking to you for hours about it. And I don't know if that's just God in me just wanting to share my knowledge, or me being having a big head thinking I know a lot. I don't know which one it is. I'd like to think it's the former. I know one thing, and that God loved me so much that he sent his son to die for me. And I would like to give him, I would like to do things his way and not my own way. Because my own way is dumb. It hasn't gotten me very far in life. That's why I want to lay it all down and try his way. I've noticed that his way works much better. It's just like the scripture about children obey your parents. Your parents' way works much better because they already have wisdom. As a child, you don't have all the wisdom. You haven't made any mistakes. You haven't seen the consequences of your mistakes. So listen to your parents. So that's the way with Jesus is. We need to listen to him. His way is much better. He already knows the beginning from the end. I mean, the cool thing is if you do mess up, which we do mess up all the time, you just ask him to cover it, and he covers it. So it's like, it's so peaceful to know that if I do it right, I'm going to be blessed, and if I do it wrong, God's going to cover it, and I'm going to be blessed. You can't lose. When you give your life to Christ, you can't lose. Even if you screw everything up your entire life, as long as you know that Jesus loves you, died on the cross for you, wants everything for you, you know, it's wonderful. I mean, that's where all the peace and joy comes from. I mean, you can't have peace and joy if you're always trying to perform and always trying to be something and always trying to be what your parents want or what you think God wants or whatever. But if you realize that you're loved unconditionally, that's something that, I mean, Rick taught on that, I don't know, 8 months ago or whatever, unconditional love. That's something we haven't brought up a whole lot in this church, but it's something we believe in heavily. It just isn't said much, I think, because we all just know it. But God loves us unconditionally. And that means, unconditionally means unconditionally. It means doesn't matter what you do to God, what you say to God, he loves you. So, let's remember on this Resurrection Sunday, it's just, you know, that's why God had the Israelites always doing festivals and feasts and stuff to remember. It wasn't to make a religion out of it. It was just that you remember, because so easily, I mean, he had a pillar of fire and a cloud by day, and yet they forgot. He brought manna down and quail on Sundays, and yet they forgot. He got rid of the Egyptians, and they forgot. The city of Jericho fell down after marching around it 7 times, and they forgot. It's like, if they can forget those momentous things like that, we're going to forget stuff. That's why you got to get back into the Word and remember, because it's easy for us to forget. God loves us. We're righteous. We're holy. He's in us. He's in us being righteous. He's in us being holy. So that means he's in us to will and to do. So, hallelujah. Just let God love on you today and stop using your own wisdom and just ask God. God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? How do you want me to act? What do you want to show me today? He's wanting to show you stuff every day. It's like me. I love to share my wisdom that I've acquired. I think my dad had acquired so much wisdom, and it's all in his head, and it's in the dirt now. Sorry, that sounds sort of morbid. But it's like God wants to share his wisdom. I mean, he's not in the dirt. He's in heaven with God. But all that wisdom that he acquired is gone. And so I think that's maybe why I like to share it. I'm like, get it out before it's no longer usable. Just let God share with you what he wants to share with you. He's got amazing things to tell you. Set you free. fill you with peace and joy, love, happiness, take care of all your needs, and teach you how to be his bride and his queen. Eternity is going to be amazing. Right now is amazing. Dad would always say, you know, heaven on earth. It's true. Zippity-doo-dah. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. You know, that song was based off of some, I mean, that was, the whole thing was, I don't know if you guys know about that movie, but it was just like that whole horrible part of our country. They all sang songs. They all worshiped God. They were going through all this garbage, and they were worshiping God. It's like, that's the way we should be, day and night, whether things are good or whether bad. Just worship God. It's all going our way. It's all going our way, even if it doesn't seem like it. So, hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for just loving us. Thank you for each person here. They are precious to you. Thank you for your word, where we can remind ourselves who you are and who we are every day. Let everybody have a good time today with their families, with edifying conversation. Be a blessing to each other, and to be quiet and open their ears to you to hear what you have to say and what you have to share. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Monty, can you do the benediction for me? Amen. Yes. Yeah. Please. Can we get our microphone?